reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis. It's found on page 16. And we read Genesis 18, verses 17 through 19. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Colossians, found on page 1260, and we read Colossians 2, verses 6 through 19. "Therefore, as you receive from Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, and the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1111. And we read Luke 11, beginning at verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson of the teaching of the Lord's Prayer, which concludes with this verse. "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is our text. When I was young, maybe 4 to 6 years old, it was my family's custom to take a trip back to Wisconsin. I grew up in Minnesota, but my parents were both born in central Wisconsin. And we'd visit relatives there, staying out at my aunt and uncle's farm. It was at that time mostly single-lane highway through a lot of smaller towns, and about a 4-hour drive. You can do it in 2.5 hours today. It's interstate all the way, but back then it was a very long drive, and we'd do it once every 4 to 6 weeks. And there are things that children, particularly smaller children, tend to ask of their parents when you're on long trips like that. "When are we going to get there?" And I was that child. And one trip I remember in particular took place shortly after my dad had brought home this neat little gizmo. You know, I'm 4 to 6 years old. I'm just starting to get fascinated by numbers. And he brought home this counter clicky thing. It's kind of a little bit like what our ushers use when you're coming in, except it had three different dials. And I brought that along on the next trip. And I sat right behind my father as he was driving, looking over his shoulder at the odometer. And every time a mile went by, that little clicky thing right next to his ear would go click. I don't know how my father put up with me. For him, that probably had to be the most annoying trip he had ever made. And all the way, I would keep on asking him, some 240 miles, how many more miles to go? Did I need to know those things? No. Did I want to know those things? Yeah. And though, again, I'm sure he was thoroughly annoyed by what he did, he just kept on listening to me and answering my questions. In our prayer life with our Heavenly Father, I think it's sometimes a lot like that. We ask Him all kinds of things. We want all kinds of things. And He doesn't scold us for bringing those questions and those concerns to His ears. But when the disciples of our Lord asked Him to teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples, the model prayer that He gave to us has a very distinct, if you will, tone to it, an area of concern. Let me speak it to you. And as I'm speaking, I want you to listen to the prayer with this question in mind. Where do our bodily concerns, or if you will, our earthly concerns, even come up in the prayer? Oh, and by the way, that part of the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." You don't find that in Scripture. It was actually, if you will, a liturgical response that the church early on in history would give to the, after the pastor had read the Lord's Prayer to them, much as we do in our Divine Service 3. But it's not an original part of the prayer as Jesus was teaching us to pray. So I'll leave that off. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, in all of that prayer, where do your earthly concerns come up at all? And I'll bet you all know where that spot is. Let's all say that together on three. One, two, three. I wasn't going to give you the answer. But you all had it. When our disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, how much of that prayer dealt with earthly concerns? Just that much. That one little phrase, give us this day our daily bread. But now I'm going to share with you something that may come as a surprise. Even that little bit in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, may not have been referring to earthly and bodily needs. It's rather interesting, as commentators point out, when you read through the original Greek of the New Testament, in both Matthew and Luke, where the Lord's Prayer is recorded, that phrase, which is translated daily bread, the word translated daily had never been used in the Greek language before it occurred in the recording of the Lord's Prayer in the New Testament. Now, the Greek language had been around a long time. You know, Alexander the Great, for instance, you know, was around 300 years before Jesus, and had spread the Greek language throughout the world. And yet, in all the ancient literature we've dug up, they've never found that word that's in the Lord's Prayer. And so they had to guess a little bit as to how that word came together and what precisely they meant. And if you actually read the early church fathers, some who wrote in Greek, some who wrote in Latin, it was a rather interesting topic of concern. What did Jesus mean with that word? And based on, if you will, the study of what went into that word, it could actually be translated in a number of ways. It could mean something like the bread necessary for our existence. Or like we have come to take it, bread for the current day or daily bread. Or it could be translated bread for the future, or for what is coming. Or could be translated, give us this day our bread that is drawing near. And it's those last couple of translations that raise an interesting possibility about the prayer that Jesus taught. The bread which is coming, the bread drawing near. Keep those words in mind and then listen to Jesus in other places of Scripture where he talks about bread. Just a few chapters before the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. In Matthew 4:4, he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Or in John chapter 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, and everybody is concerned about getting this bread that Jesus made, this earthly bread, and he says to them, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. What bread was Jesus talking about in that Lord's Prayer? And then listen to again to the last part of the section of Scripture where Jesus is teaching about prayer. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? This after telling two stories about people seeking earthly food. Those stories that Jesus told after teaching about prayer were meant to teach us about the depth of God's love for us. A love which we have confirmed in an awesome and magnificent way by Jesus going to the cross, not for any sins that he had committed, but to pay for ours. Paul has a passage in Romans that I love to quote, where he says, "And he who did not spare his own son, but graciously gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" When he was teaching his disciples how to pray, Jesus wanted us, in the first place, to pray with such confidence regarding the love that God has for us, that most, if not all, of the substance of that model prayer had nothing to do with our earthly and bodily concerns. Not that God won't listen to those prayers, not that God is unconcerned about our earthly welfare. To the contrary, he's so concerned about our entire life that he wants us to assume our earthly needs are cared for, even without us asking. But the things we as sinners tend to forget, tend to ignore, tend to make small when they're the greatest things of all, the things that actually give us life. Not just life here on this earth, but life eternal. That's what Jesus wanted us focusing on when we go to God in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, not our God, not our Lord, our Father. When we go to God in prayer, Jesus wanted his people to know that they're going to someone who loves them, who hears them, as Luther explained, a dear father listens to his dear children. A God who is not only loving, but a God who is holy and righteous and just. To focus on his kingdom and its coming. Remember how Jesus in Matthew's chapter 6, and again just a little bit after the first reading of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 5, tells us to look at the birds of the air, how the Heavenly Father takes care of them, to look at the flowers of the field and how beautifully God clothes them, and you're more important than they are. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. God, give us that coming bread. That bread which is going to give to us forgiveness by dying on the cross for us. And then we are filled with forgiveness ourselves to be forgiving of others, as we have been forgiven. And help us to remain steadfast in that word. That the devil may not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Things are going to happen to us in this world. During the worst heat of the summer, your air conditioner could go out. But it's not the end of the world. And though we are going to have various distresses and pains and sorrows, dealing with our earthly bodies in this earthly and sinful world, God doesn't want us to worry about it. He cares for us. He will take care of us. And when our earthly days are ended, we need not worry, because he's going to take us to our heavenly home and have us live with him there forever. Where air conditioners don't break down anymore. Where death is no more. Where sorrow is no more. Where pain and suffering is no more. God grant that as we go to God in prayer, that we're not like that little child whom our Heavenly Father still loves. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Can I have this? Can I have that? When the Father is going to graciously take care and bring us safely home, let us trust that God is going to provide for those needs. And in our prayer life, focus on those eternal and spiritual needs that bring unto us the true, the everlasting, and the only real life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.